I'm going to start with sharing a couple of things that's happened here lately. This morning, I got to preach in a Middle Eastern country. Can you just grasp that? I got to preach this morning to a pastor in a Middle Eastern country. How did I meet him? It was just one of those God connections. He found our website and sent a contact email. It's one of those emails that you kind of look at for a while and you're not really sure what you're going to do with it. I looked at it and I just kept listening to see what the Lord would direct me to do. And the one thing about this email, I never could get it out of my mind. I never could get rid of it. It was always just right there, you know. And he had asked if we could make contact over the computer. And so I finally responded to him and I said, yes, we can do that. So this morning, I spoke with him two different times. This, what we know here, what we enjoy here, the teaching here, he knows nothing about. Here's a man who was a professional, and he was telling me about, you know, the leaving his job. He said it was all about his job, all about his job. And he said, I left that. The Lord directed me to leave that, go full time in the ministry. All he knows is Jesus. That's his doctrine, is Jesus. And he has, now listen to this. He has apostled seven churches with seven pastors, and God sent him to me. And I'll tell you what, it's a privilege to be able to sit and talk with this man and to share with him what God's taught me. Just to share. And you should see the excitement. He sits there and I say something that we take for granted. And I mean, he's writing it down. And I tell him something else and he just writes it down. It's exciting. And this is what I've found out. The Lord has started, for lack of a better way of saying it, he's kind of turning the faucet on for me in how he's bringing people to me to share this truth with. I'm kind of glad he's not just turning the faucet on just full blast. I'm kind of glad that it's starting out gradually. Because this gentleman this morning said, can we do this every single day? I'm not kidding. And he wants me to sit there for hours every day. And this is just one person. Okay? Just one person that God has brought to me to help. To pour into his life. Will I ever go to his house? I don't know. I don't know. I had to decide, you know, just whether or not I was going to call the man first, let alone get in a plane. And I don't even know if you can go that country, quite honestly. I don't even know if our country will let you go there. But I can sit in my living room and sit on the computer and talk face to face. He introduced me to his family. He introduced me to his, these are my kids. He's got his kids and brought them and put them in front of the computer. Got beautiful kids. Here's my wife. Here's my sister. And it was just, I mean, it was such a God connection. And I thought, Lord, I want you to continue to do this. Because I know through this man, there is a country that's going to get touched. Wait till he finds out how he can empower the Holy Ghost to teach him. And I'm telling him right now, just pray in tongues. He's already been praying in tongues. And I said, that's why God was able to connect us, because you prayed me into your life. And here I am to give you this truth. Here's this truth. And so what I'm starting with is assimilating the word. Now take this word and read it over and over and over again. So he's writing this down. So okay, let's go to Romans 8. I want you to start at Romans 8. And we're going to learn Romans 8 first. And I want you to, he comes from the university, so he does, he knows how this tutoring works. And I said, I want you to get a piece of paper, and every time that you read Romans 8, I want you to put a line through, just put a line, put a line. I said, we're going to be disciplined about this. I want you to be able to look at this and see the progression in your own life. And I told him, and I knew this was by the Spirit of God, I said, in 2 months, you're going to stand up in front of your congregation. If you do this, in 2 months, they're going to look at you and they're going to ask you, what are you doing differently? In 2 months. I knew it was by the Spirit of God, and I know this man will do it. This man is determined. He's going to do what I tell him. I don't know if I can talk to him every single day. What am I saying to you? As you progress, your progression is going to involve you speaking in to people's lives. That's what this is about. It's about you moving down this path and you coming to the place where your eyes are on other people and God is starting to use you to share that love that's all inside of you with the world. And believe me, He's going to do it. While I was sitting there, I didn't really expect to share that testimony with you. But he said, start out there. So that's where I'm started out at. I want to encourage you with a couple of things. I want to encourage you with something that happened to us last Wednesday. Last Wednesday. These are just some of the things happening in my life right now. Last Wednesday. See, my wife and I, we do a lot of stuff on the internet, as you can tell. And her computer was a hand-me-down from me that was handed down to from somebody else to me that I handed down to her. So she was the last one to get this beauty, and it's worked okay. But the little hinge that holds the laptop, the backup, the hinge broke, and it's on its last leg. And we had petitioned the Lord for a new computer for her, and it had been quite a while ago that we'd done this. And we had been believing God for her new computer. Well, last week, she's looking at me with her computer that's about, kind of falling apart. She's like, okay, we got to do something. It's like, okay, God, you know what my petition is? I believe that I received that computer on this day at this time. And I will confess this to you, that I did get the credit card out, call the credit card company, and just ask them, do you have any kind of special promotions on rates? Because if you do, I thought about taking advantage of it. Well, they didn't. And I knew in my heart that's not the direction he wanted me to go in. So, sat down. Here I am crying out to God. Okay, Lord, I got to have a laptop for my wife. I have to. That was, and I wish I would have wrote down the time. I think It was between 5:30 and 5:45 last Wednesday night. Somewhere right in within 15 minutes. We get ready to come to church at 6:30. I sit down at my computer. I look at my email. A friend of mine that lives in another country, time zone's different. He was sleeping, had a dream, woke up. In the dream, I was knocking on the door. And he knew that I needed something. And in the email, he said, "Whatever it is that you need, just tell me and I'm buying it for you." Now tell me, do you think that's a coincidence? I mean, it was within 45 minutes of sitting down and saying, "God, I got to have something." So her new computer is going to be here Friday. These are some of the things that's happening for us right now. I really am so excited about this man this morning. I really am, because I can see that this is an avenue that the Lord is starting to open up for us, where we can minister to people without leaving our house. Now, like I said, there may be a time that I get in a plane and I go to his country. I mean, that was the first thing the man said to me was, "Please come here to our country." But the way the Lord wanted me to start was, I want you to teach him, and then he can experience the change himself and in turn begin to share with his people. He lives there. It's a perfect fit. I teach him. And I told him, I said, "You can fill the room with your leadership if you want to. I don't care. I'll teach to all of them." And then he can in turn share this with the whole country. Isn't that good? I think the Lord right now wants you to start seeing beyond the limitations of your mind. I believe that the Lord wants you to start looking beyond those limitations. You see, I thought for the longest time, I can't affect somebody's life unless I'm up here with a microphone. I didn't have a microphone this morning. I was sitting in front of my laptop. And I was impacting someone's life who's going to turn around and impact the lives of a multitude. You can do this. God can use you in ways that at this moment you may not see. Because you've got some limitations. God, it has to be this way. No, it doesn't. He can open up an opportunity to you that you never dreamed about. And I believe that that is exactly what he wants to do in your life. I believe it. This is where I'm going to start this message. You ever seen a situation where individual, a well-beloved person, in other words, they're the one that everybody, the attention goes to that person. And they reach the place in their life where it's time for them to go home. And someone else is going to come. And they're going to have to walk in the path that that person walked in. Not a fun place. Everybody loves that guy. Everybody follows that man. Everyone listens to him, and now he's gone. And here comes the new guy. You ever been the new guy? I've been the new guy so many times. Oh, I hate that. You know, the new guy always feels like he's got to prove something. You know what I'm talking about? He's got to show that he knows what he's talking about. Well, the new guy's got to come, and he's got to walk in the path that this older, more established person has been in for years. And here comes the new guy. Respect, that's something you earn. That's going to take some time. But see, as I kept looking at this man by the name of Joshua, and I look at what God asked this man to do. Come in and walk in the path that Moses has walked in. The man whose face glowed because he had spent so much time with God that they had to cover his face. You're gonna send me in, God, to walk behind this guy? Are you kidding me? And I looked at that and I thought, Lord, that's a monumental task that you've given to this man. Now he wasn't just a regular guy. Joshua was, him and Caleb were the two that went into the promised land, and they're the ones that came out with the good report. They weren't like those 10 that came out with the evil report. Those 10, yeah, they died in the plague, but not Caleb and Joshua. And here Joshua has been, his calling, his place in life is, you're going to walk in this path that Moses started. You're going to lead these people, and they're going to follow you. And I looked at that, I'm telling you, I spent time on this. I looked at Numbers, and I looked at Deuteronomy. And you talked about some of the driest verses in there. Oh my goodness. You sit there and read that, and you fall asleep, and you wake up, and you read some more, and you fall asleep. I got to some of the law, and I said, I just can't do the law. There's just no way. But I read that because I wanted to get it going in my spirit. Everything that was happening that came up to that point at the end of Deuteronomy, where Moses, he's standing there looking at the promised land. He was the one God used to bring them in the Exodus to leave Egypt. He was the one God used to go up onto the mountain to stay with him as bring down the Ten Commandments. He was the one that walked with these people for 40 years. He put up with their nonsense 40 years. And he gets all the way to the destination. Can you imagine that? You're all the way at the destination. It's like going on a long vacation and you're getting just to the place where you can see the hotel and you're never going to get there. Well, that was Joshua. He got just to that place. He's looking over, and God is telling him, you're not going in there. Joshua's going to take these people in. Who's Joshua? Why him? Why can't I do this? So I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, God, what's the bigger picture here? What are you really trying to say? Under the shadow, when I look at something, being a teacher, when I look at something like this, the questions start going off inside of me. Why? 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 Why can't Moses go in? Why Joshua? Well, it doesn't take someone with a, real smart. I'm pretty average. So when you look at the name Joshua and you realize in the Hebrew it's Jesus, there's probably something here that is like related Jesus, Joshua. Okay, let's see. There's a connection here. I got that. Joshua, the Hebrew name for Jesus. There's a connection here. Moses. Moses comes all the way. What has Moses been doing all this time? You remember I said in the boring law. Yuck. You get to read the law. Well, where did it come from? Moses wrote it as God gave it to him. That's what he's been doing. And he gets all the way to this point where he can look over into the promise. I can see it. He's just finished writing the law. I'm going to show you some scriptures here to kind of give you an idea where we're at. All right. So open your Bibles. Let's go over to, we're going to go to the end of Deuteronomy 31. Sorry about that. Deuteronomy 31. And the Lord said, verse 14. The Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua. Present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. Let's stop there. I want you to notice something. You know that cloud, that and that pillar of fire, which it's not mentioned there, but you know what I'm talking about, the pillar of fire and the cloud. When they walked out of Egypt, that pillar of fire and that cloud, it led the way for them. Whenever that cloud moved, what did they do? Do you remember? They moved. When that cloud or that fire, if it was at night, it was the fire. If it was in the daytime, it was a cloud. When it stopped, what did they do? They stopped. Maybe it stopped for a week. Maybe it stopped for 3 days. Didn't really matter. But when it moved, they moved with it. And when it stopped, they stopped. Now here in this verse that I just read to you, that pillar showed up. That's the last time that that pillar shows up. You're going to walk in Moses' shoes. And you're not going to have a pillar of fire. You're not going to have a cloud. Now look at me, everybody. Now, if I'm Joshua right about now, I want, God, come here. Come here, God. Can we talk? Can we talk? Now, look, I'm the new guy, and you're putting me in these shoes, and I don't get a cloud. I don't get some fire. I don't get anything. Now, think about that. It'd have been nice, God, if you would have given me at least a little fire. Something so these people would acknowledge that I'm the leader now. Nothing. No more cloud. No more pillar of fire. Isn't that interesting? I think it's interesting. I really do. I think it's interesting that Joshua has the Hebrew name Jesus. So all of a sudden, I'm looking at this and things are starting to come to me. As I'm meditating this, things are starting to come to me. I'm starting to see this in a different light. Now, I think I missed this point. I didn't ask you, why was it that Moses couldn't go into the promised land? Why was that? Well, if you'll remember, there was a place that the children of Israel were so thirsty they needed water. And there was this rock. And the instruction that came to Moses was, what? Speak. Speak to the rock. Speak to that rock. Now what did he do? Did he speak to that rock? No. He took that rod and he struck it twice. Now I want you to think about this. Here's the guy that came down off the mountain with the tables of stone that God had wrote in that table with his finger, the Ten Commandments, and Moses took those and broke them. But that wasn't enough to keep him out of the promised land. That wasn't it. But when he disobeyed and when he hit that rock twice instead of speaking to it, that was enough. Now think, come on people. You've got a rock that God himself wrote in, and you break that, and that's not enough for you to stay out of the promised land, but hitting that rock instead of speaking to it, that's enough. Well, here's the reason why. See, Moses is representing to us all of the law. Joshua is representing this new covenant. Notice the name similarities: Jesus, Joshua. Moses, when he disobeyed and took that rod and he struck that rock, this is what he was saying. He was saying, you can earn your salvation through your actions. You see, that rock represented Jesus. Striking that rock is, in effect, saying, you can earn your salvation. You can make that living water come out of that rock. No. Nothing in your actions will save you. Nothing. When you speak to the rock and you say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, save me. The living water pours out of that rock. But see, Moses was trying to earn the salvation through his actions. And that was what all of the law did. All of the law was about your actions. And see, with his passing, that is the picture of the end of the law. And now we have Joshua, the beginning of grace. And I want you to notice what happened to that cloud, what happened to that fire, it's gone. Where did it go? Where? I mean, this, follow me now. This was what guided them through the desert. This is what they followed. And now here they are. Like I said, this is representing the change in covenant. So where is our guidance going to come from? So Moses finishes the word. Let's go back here and look at this. Chapter 31, verse 24. And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord saying, take this book of the law and put it inside of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Now go over to chapter 34. So here he wrote down all of the word of the law, wrote it down, put it inside the ark, told the priest, put it inside the ark. Now, in chapter 34, verse 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, for his natural force, nor his natural force abated. The children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was, now look at this, read that in your Bible, full of the Spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him as did as the Lord commanded Moses. Now go over to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every soul, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And then he goes through all of the locations. I'm not going to mention, say, the geographic places. Go down to verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall I divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Until Moses wrote it, they didn't have it. The only thing they had was what Moses said. And he wrote down the word of God, and they took the word, and they had the Levites put it inside the ark. Now, we see a change from the law in the passing of Moses to Jesus and grace in the person of Joshua. And this is what his instruction is from the Lord. I want you to go into the promised land. I want you to go into there. And this book of the law that Moses just finished writing, I want it to be coming out of your mouth. I want you to speak it. I want you to say it. And I want there to be day and nighttime meditation. Because in doing this, you will have good success. Let's start off in verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. All right, now stop there. Now look up at me, please. The only thing at this point that God has said is what? I want you to take these people and to go across the Jordan. That is the only record that we have in the Word of God of God's word to Joshua. So where in the world does the 3 days come from? See, what I want to point out to you is this. There is a leadership of the Holy Spirit that's being exemplified right here. This 3 days is not an accident. 3 days. What else was 3 days? Well, Jesus, 3 days in the belly of the earth, 3 days. So for him to say 3 days, it was not a shot in the dark. It wasn't an accident. But he didn't hear it from God, but he heard it through that Holy Spirit that we saw that he was filled with, that was upon him because Moses had laid his hands on him. He's operating through this avenue of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He knows and says, in 3 days we are going to do this. 3 days. See, there's a leadership of the Holy Spirit. That leadership that goes beyond words. Well, what are you talking about? Let me give you an example. The leadership of the Holy Ghost that goes beyond words. Let me give you an example. About a month ago, I had an occasion to help Pastor Dave out, and we were driving around. We were running errands, is what we were doing, running errands. And I said, I've got to stop here at my barbershop to make an appointment. So I stopped there. I made an appointment. He stayed in the car. And when I went back out, I don't know why. I didn't hear anything. I felt impressed just to say to him, you know, this lady, she cuts hair pretty good. She does a real good job. You want your hair cut? Well, yeah, I think I'll get my hair cut. Now, this has got to be one of the most unspiritual conversations that I'm having. You want to get your hair cut? I'll go in, I'll make an appointment, we'll get your hair cut. Sure, that's fine. So I run back in. I tell her, okay, this is Pastor Dave. She has the book. She's read it, and I said, this is Pastor Dave. She's like, oh, Pastor Dave? Huh? It's like, yes. Will you cut his hair? Oh, yes, I'll cut his hair. So we make the appointment. I take him in on Monday. We get his hair cut. And we're sitting there. Now, she's got all kinds of questions, and that's fine. And she's cutting his hair. And somewhere in the midst of her cutting a little bit of hair off his head, I look at her and I said, you got pain in your back, don't you? And Pastor Dave looks at me and he goes, I was just about to say that. And I said, why don't you let him pray for you? Well, yes. I'm telling you, folks, when she stood up, or when she got done cutting his hair, and she raised her little hands up, I mean, they were like this. Now follow this. He prayed for her. And I told her, I said, now you watch. Watch what happens. And she looked up. She couldn't help it. She closed her eyes. But they moved it. And she opened them and looked. And this was how she looked. She looked at it. She couldn't say anything. She really couldn't say anything. And he said, well, why don't you sit down here and we'll do your feet too. Her feet were like, oh, about like this. Prayed for him. And you know what happened. Straightened right out. She was totally, totally speechless. I mean, seriously speechless. Now, see, there's a leadership there that went beyond words. I didn't know what God was going to do. I didn't know God had orchestrated all this. But see, praying in tongues empowers the Holy Ghost to go in front of you and to make these things happen, and then you walk into them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Praying in tongues connects you with some pastor in a third world country That you can sit at the computer and talk. Praying in tongues will do this. It is what orchestrates your life if you will let Him do it. Sure, there's going to be times when He's going to give you a word and you're going to follow that word. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm getting to the place where He's leading me and I don't even know it. I don't even know it. And I love it. I'm telling you what, I love it. I love to see people's hands straighten out, people's legs straighten. I love it. So here is Joshua. Joshua has heard a word from the Lord. It says, you're going to take these people and you're going to go into the promised land. Joshua says, okay. I want you to look at the confidence. Now, we're not talking about confidence in self. We're talking about confidence in God. He said, we're doing this in 3 days, folks. Three. Count them. One, two, three. We're going across there. Okay. Now let's go to chapter 3. And Joshua rose up early in the morning. And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host and they commanded the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way hitherto. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do a wonder among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and they went before the people. Stop there. Don't read the next word. Because Joshua didn't have the next word. So don't read it yet. He didn't have it. All he knew to do was cross over this river. He instructed the people, 3 days we're going to go across this river. He instructs them, when you see the ark, follow behind it. It's going to lead us across. Now, what's in that ark again? The law, representing the word of God, is in that ark. You're going to follow behind it, and it's going to go down to that river. And what's going to happen, Joshua? Well, frankly, I don't know. I know inside of that ark, there's a rod. And I know when we were at the Red Sea, Moses took that rod and he parted that Red Sea. I tell you what, if I get down to that Jordan and I don't have anything else, I may reach in that box and get that out and part that sea. But we are going to go across. Do you understand that? Because that's what God said. So we go, we do as much as we know to do with what God has told us. And we get down to this place. And there's times where your sweat, your brow will be sweaty. Thinking, God, I don't know anything else to do. I'm right here by this Jordan. And then you hear another word. And the Lord said, verse 7, unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. Now, they get down to the brink. They step in the Jordan. And what happens? This thing parts. I'm going to let you read some of this yourself. I'm going to tell you what it says. This thing parts. The Jordan parts. And on one side, you can look at it there. Do you see how far back it goes? All the way to the city of Adam. That's an interesting name for a city. And on the other side, It stopped it and it was going to the Dead Sea. Well, let's think for a minute. What does that sound like to you? Does that sound like all of humanity from Adam on their way to hell, the Dead Sea, and all of a sudden they walk, they take a step in the Jordan, and it separates, and God interrupts the flow of mankind all the way from Adam on their way to hell, stops it, and walks through the presence of the Word of God, God inside that ark, and they take it out and they stand in the middle of that river on dry ground. They stand there while thousands of people go through. Thousands of people go through. And then what do? Well, they could have just stopped right there. But see, here's some more leadership that's so very interesting. Look in verse 12, or let's go to verse 11 of chapter 3. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passed over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men of the tribes of Israel out of every tribe of man. See, this is what Joshua is telling them to do. He's telling them to take these people, pick these 12 men out. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all of its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed over. Chapter 4, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan. The Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take out 12 men of the people out of every tribe. Wasn't that a coincidence? Because I just happened to already pick out 12 guys. Well, who told him to do that? Because this is the first time God mentions it. So there had to have been a leadership of the Holy Ghost taking place. And he already picked the 12 guys out. So when the Lord said, okay, pick these 12. Oh, I got these 12 right here. I got them already. So what are we going to do with them? Well, listen to what we're going to do with these 12. I want those 12 on that side of the Jordan to get these stones, from the center of the Jordan, to take these stones. Now, river rock is real smooth. Real smooth. When the water passes over it, it smooths out all the rough edges. Take these stones and take them over on that side where we've passed over to. We're going to take them over there. So here come the 12 guys. Picked up a rock, walked it over, put it on the other side. Joshua's on the side where they started at. Joshua picked up rocks, 12 of them, walked them down, put them in the center, one at a time. 12. Why 12? One for every tribe. What did Israel represent? Israel represented all of mankind. So if Joshua is representing Jesus, this is what he's doing. He's taking all of humanity. He's taking them down to the belly of the earth in himself and dying. Did you follow that? All the people on this side. See, they're passing over. This passing over is going from death to life. They're passing over, going from death to life. So we're going to take these rough stones that are on the shore. We're going to, Joshua's going to walk them down and he's going to build a monument right in the middle, right where the priests stand, right in the heart of the earth. He's going to build a monument there. And these 12, each one, individually, pick up their stone. And they walk it to the other side. What does that mean? It means simply this. Jesus died for every one of us. But each one of us individually have to make a decision. And that decision is the picking up of that rock, walking it to the other side, building this monument. He did it for us. But we have to receive it. And we receive it. And we're born again and we walk to the other side. We're clean on the other side of the Jordan. That's what that picture represents. But see, it doesn't stop there. Because they get to the other side and they need to do something. There needs to be what's called a circumcision. Now for guys, this is not a very fun topic to talk about. Talk about circumcision. But they get to the other side, and see, there's a feast of Passover that they want to celebrate on the other side. But in order to do that, they have to circumcise everybody, all the men, because they didn't do it in the wilderness. So look at what they've done. They've passed over the Jordan. See, that's the first Passover. They passed over from death to life. If you look through that chapter there, I think it's chapter 3. Look at all the times it says Passover. When they passed over the Jordan. That's not a coincidence. See, that Passover was the Passover from death to life. But see, now they're on the other side and they're going to do another Passover. The Passover feast. Well, what in the world are they going to do that for? And why circumcise these people? The circumcision cut is what kept them in the covenant. Very simply. If you didn't have the cut, you weren't in the covenant. But it represented something. They were cutting away the old flesh. They were cutting away the old so that the new could be revealed. The living part revealed. So, how did that relate to the Passover? See, the Passover was the last plague. Passover was everybody that's inside the house where the blood's on the doorpost, where they've eaten the lamb that's been roasted with bitter herbs. When you've done that inside the house, you're saved. So, what's the relationship? Because we've passed over from death to life. So, why this Passover? Because, no, go to Colossians chapter 3, and I'll show you. Colossians 3, starting in verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members. What did he say first? He said, you're dead. The Passover that they're celebrating on the other side of the Jordan represented what? Everything on the outside is dead. That's the old man. It's dead. The inside is alive. Why the circumcision? Because you have to mortify. Mortify. You've got to mortify. the deeds of your body. That's the pulling away of that old flesh. And that's what we have to do on this side of the Jordan. And when they did that, then the manna ceased and they ate the corn of the new land that they lived in. So what are you saying, Mark? I'm saying you can pass over the Jordan and you can go to heaven and we'll love you and everything will be wonderful. And you can eat manna the rest of your life if you want to. Notice the manna was just barely enough. But if you want to, if you want to experience the real promised land, in order to do that, you have to mortify the deeds of your body. You've got to go through a circumcision that's going to pull back, is going to destroy the deeds of this body. And in doing that, it's what we teach here all the time. If you'll remember Sunday morning, it's exactly what Dave said when he said, I saw this picture of this black band around the earth. That black band was the flesh. And if anybody could just get something through that black band, if they could get their head through or something, they glowed with the glory of God and they would preach like a wild man. They would lay hands, if they got their hands to, they'd lay hands on the sick and see a the miracles happen. It's what we're talking about. You can walk into this land of promise, but it costs something. It costs you going through this process of mortification, of laying down that old, putting that old man to death once and for all. But the good thing is this, you can eat of that land. You're going to have wells that you didn't dig. You're going to have houses that you didn't build. But if you want to get to that place, you've got to put to death the deeds of the body. Otherwise, what will happen? What will happen is you'll have these strongholds inside of you. See, that's what God told Moses. He said, those people, when they go into the land, they're going to run off and go a-whoring with those gods. I know they are. Why? Because they didn't have a new nature. They weren't changed. But you are. You're changed. You're a new person. But if you want to eat of the new land, if you want to eat from fields that you didn't plant, from wells that you didn't dig, live in houses you didn't build, you have to put to death the things that are going to be used against you by the enemy to destroy you. It's as simple as that. You can eat of it if you want. Hey, as long as you go across the Jordan, you're there. But I want something more than that. I want to finish with one quick little comparison. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3, I'll make this real quick. This is kind of like a little bit of icing on top of the cake. If you don't get it, it's fine. But if you get to it, oh, it's so good. And I like icing. Matthew chapter 3. I want you to remember a few things in what we shared already. Remember the stones. That's the first thing we're going to talk about. Remember those stones. Okay. Chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Notice, he was in the wilderness. Isn't that interesting? And saying, repent you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Jump down to verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Do you know where they were standing at? They were at the Jordan. They're looking at these stones. These same stones that hundreds of years ago they carried into the center of the Jordan. And John is sitting there saying, these stones right here, God can even make these stones. He's not talking about those stones. He's talking about the symbolism that's taken place, the new birth that they represent. That's what he's talking about. He can take these stones and go through the Jordan and he can raise up children, which is exactly what we are. Let's go just a little bit further. You're not quite full yet. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and, say it, fire. Is there any kind of, think about it, the pillar of fire that led those people? Get excited, I am, my goodness. That's what this picture is drawing. We don't need to follow something on the outside. My gosh, we got him on the inside of us. He's leading me when I'm praying in tongues. He's directing my life and I don't even know it. And that's why all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Because I'm praying in tongues. He's working it out in front of me. And I'm walking right into it. Oh, goodness. Alright. Alright, let me try to land this plane, okay? Alright, verse 13. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to where? To the Jordan to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What happened there in Matthew chapter 3 is the exact picture of Joshua crossing the Jordan. That's the picture. And Jesus fulfilled it. And then what did he do? He went into the wilderness. And he fasted 40 days. And then he was tempted by the enemy. Do you think he needed to fast? No. We need to fast. What's that doing? It's on the other side of the Jordan. Putting down that flesh. He showed us right there. It's the exact picture of what happened in Joshua's life. They went to the other side. This is how you eat the fruit of that promised land. You put to death the deeds of the body. Get a hold of it. This is it. You want to eat it? Put the deeds of the body to death. Pray in tongues. The Holy Ghost will lead you. Speak the word. Speak it. Say it. This book of the law, don't let it depart out of your mouth. Meditate in it day and night. Read it. Speak it. Pray in tongues. The Holy Ghost will direct you. And you're going to walk into everything that God has for your life. Is there, does that give you some hope?
Yes.
Yes. Everything you need is right there. Everything. Everything. Why don't you stand up on your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Just raise up your hands. I'm telling you what, that's good stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.